We're holding on to Dalet Omid Bey's five lines from the bottom. We've been going through some of the Pesukim in the Parasha of Arayis and explaining why we need we've been explaining why we need some of them. What are the what other details are they teaching us that we wouldn't otherwise have known? And we've also been discussing which ones of those Arayis apply, whether the relationship is only from the father's side or only from the mother's side, versus which ones apply only if it's from the father's side. So, for example, we said, and the Torah tells us a man's not allowed to have relations with a sister, and the Torah spells out that it means whether it's a sister from his father's side or his mother's side. Now, when it comes to, for example, the Torah tells us he's not allowed to have relations with his father's sister or his mother's sister. So there we said we had to figure out how we know from the Pesukim that it means whether it's his father's paternal sister or only maternal sister, and the same thing with the mother. And we said that it does. On the other hand, when the Torah tells us that a man's not allowed to have relations with his father's brother's wife, so we established that that applies daraisa only when it's his uncle where their uncle and the father share the same father. So in other words, for example, Reuben and Shimon, let's say, both being the sons of Yaakov, then Reuben's son Chanoch would be also to marry Shimon's wife, even after Shimon has died or divorced her. On the other hand, if let's say, for example, we take, let's say, Reuben and we take, let's say, for example, suppose that Rachel had had another child with another husband before, suppose Leah, let's say, had had another child with somebody else before or after Reuben, then we would say that Reuben and that other brother are brothers only from the mother's side, and Reuben's son would be allowed to marry, at least Daraisa, would be able to, allowed to marry that woman, only Dirabanan should be a Shnita. So we've been discussing that point. So now we're going to continue on that topic, about which relationships apply, which relationships are Osir when they're relationships only from the father's side, and which ones from the father's or the mother's side. And then in the course of that, we're also going to discuss more about why we need some of the Pesukim. We have to remember that by all of the Arayis, it says them in Parashas Achrimos, which we just lay in this Parasha this Shabbos, and then they repeat it again in Parashas Kedoshim. Most of them are repeated in order to tell us the punishment for them. And in Parashas Achrimos, it just says they're Osir without giving the specific penalty. Just at the end, it says everybody who does these things gets Kores. Then in Parashas Kedoshim, it repeats them. By many of them, it says a Misas Beis Din. And by the other ones, where it doesn't, then it says various other details from which we learn certain halachas that we otherwise wouldn't have known, which we're going to be discussing now in the Sugya as well. So the Gemara starts off, V'hoditznan. Now we have a case that we're going to learn later in our Masechta. Now one of the arayas that we know that one of the arayas that's listed both in Achrimos and in Kedoshim is that a man is not allowed to marry his wife's sister. But unlike most of the other arayas, this one applies only as long as his wife is alive. Once his wife is, so even if he's divorced her, he's still also to marry her sister. Only if his wife or ex-wife dies, then he's allowed to marry her sister. So we have a case that we learn about later in our Masechta. Omrulei Mesa Ishtacha, if people told someone your wife died, so here we have in the diagrams in Mari Yavamis, it'll be diagram 188 on page 87. So we have as follows. Let's start from an earlier generation. We have for example, Besuel over there had two wives, Chana and Keturah. Keturah herself, meanwhile, Besuel died or divorced Keturah, as the case may be, and she married Chetzron, and so forth. We go like that. Chetzron himself has another wife, Leah, and Leah herself at some point is married to Yaakov. From each one of those relationships, you have a daughter. You have the five daughters over there, Milcah, Rivka, Sarah, Yecheved, and Dinah, who are labeled Aleph through Hey. So now you look at it, for example, Milcah and Rivka are sisters are paternal sisters. They share the same father, but they have different mothers. Rivka and Sarah, on the other hand, are share the same mother, Keturah, but not the same father, and so forth. And so it goes down the line. Sarah and Yecheved have the same father, but not mother. Yecheved and Dinah have the same mother, but not father. One other thing to notice, by the way, is, for example, Milcah and Sarah, Aleph and Gimel, don't share any parents in common at all. And the same thing, neither does Rivka and Yecheved, and neither does Sarah and Dinah. So now, at the bottom over there, we have Reuven, because Reuven is, to begin with, married to Milcah. So, Omru Loi, so suppose people that came and told Reuven, Mesa Ishtecha, your wife, Milcah, is dead, V'nosa Achoyse Me'ima, and then he married her sister, V'nosa Achoyse Me'avia, and he went and married Rivka, who was her paternal sister. Now, so far, so good. Fine. If Milcah is dead, then he's entitled to marry Rivka. Then, Mesa V'nosa Achoyse Me'ima. Now, suppose they tell him that Rivka has died, and he goes then and marries the next woman in the chain, Sarah, who is a half sister of Rivka. They have the same mother. Mesa V'nosa Achoyse Me'avia. Mesa V'nosa Achoyse Me'ima. Now, so he went through all of them. Each one he married. And then he was told, and each one he was married to Milcah. Now he's told she was dead. Then he married Rivka, and then they told her that. Then they told him that Rivka is dead. So he married Sarah. Then they told him Sarah is dead, etc. So he goes down the line over there through Yecheved and Dinah. Now what happens is, if it turns out that suppose it turns out that after all Milcah is alive. Now, if Milcah is alive, it means that his kedushin with Rivka were not effective because she's his wife's sister while his wife is alive, and that's an erva. So now, therefore, he's still mutter in Milcah. The fact that he had relations with her sister Sarah, with her sister Rivka, rather, is neither here nor there. Having relations with her sister doesn't passel her to him. So mutter b'rishona. So he's allowed to stay married to the first woman, Milcah, uvashlishis, and also the third one, Sarah, because Sarah, keep in mind, is not at all, as you can see from the diagram, is not at all a sister of Milcah. They don't have any parents in common. They have a different father and a different mother. Therefore, so Rivka is off limits to him because she's Milcah's sister. Precisely because Rivka is off limits, meaning that her kedushin were ineffective, therefore the kedushin with Sarah are effective. Had they been effective with Rivka, they wouldn't be with Sarah because they're half-sisters. And again, that's his wife's sister while she's alive. But because Rivka is not considered his wife, in turn, because Milcah is his wife and she's still alive, therefore Sarah's kedushin can take effect. And similarly, of a chamishis, similarly, he's not married to Yecheved for the same reason. She's a half-sister of Sarah's, but he is married to Dinah, even though she's a half-sister of Yecheved, because Yecheved was not his wife at all because her kedushin were ineffective. And so therefore, so Reuven is allowed to be married to Milcah, Sarah, and Dinah, which are numbers Aleph, Gimel, and Hay in this diagram. And Upoitris, Sarah Sehen. Now, furthermore, let's say that Reuven, besides being married to Milcah, he's married to Milcah, Sarah, and Dinah. Suppose that in addition, he's also married to unrelated women. And then if the brothers do, it doesn't matter how many wives he has, if he dies and one of the brothers does chalitza with one of them, then all of them are potter, as is the usual rule that we've learned before, that within one bias, within one household, once you do yibum or chalitza with one of them, it potters all the other ones. Now, on the other hand, he's also to have anything to do with the second and fourth ones, Rivka and Yecheved, because Rivka is Milcah's sister, half-sister, and Milcah is his wife. And similarly, Yecheved is Sarah's half-sister, and Sarah is legally his wife. The aim bias, achas man, peteres tzarasa. And if he dies and one of the brothers does Yibum with one of them, it doesn't pop to her tzara because they're not considered his wives. Now, continues the Mishnah, how about the Imbala Shnei La'acha Misses HaRishonah? Suppose that the first one really is dead. The scenario we had until now was they came and told him that the first one, Milcah, is dead, and it turns out she's alive. So therefore, that creates a problem with the Kedushin of Rivka. But what happens if Milcah really is dead? Then he's allowed to marry Rivka. Then it's the other way around. Mutar b'shnio v'ravias. Then it's the other way around. Now Rivka and Yecheved, if he's Mekadesh Rivka, and later on he's Mekadesh Yecheved, And again, he's Makadosh Rivka. Then they tell him she dies, and he's Makadosh Sara, and the same. And then tell him Sara dies, and he's Makadosh Yecheven, and so on and so forth. So the same. So here we have, on the other hand, Rivka will be mutter to him, and so will Yecheven, because Rivka is, yes, she's his wife's sister, but now it's his first wife, Milka, is dead, so therefore she's out of the picture. So Rivka's kiddushin are valid. On the other hand, Sara's are not, because Rivka is in fact alive. And then continuing down the line, Yecheved will be valid, since Sarahs are not, and Dinas will not, and so forth. So therefore, Mutter b'shni over Rabbius, there'll be Mutter to be married to the second and fourth ones, Rivka and Yecheved, or Poitras Tzarisehen, and again, if he dies without children, then if one of his brothers does Yibum or Chalitza with Rivka or with Yecheved, then it'll pass to the other one. But also b'shlishus of Achamishus, he'll be also in Sarah and in Dina, because now Sarah and Dina are respectively the half-sisters of his legitimate wives, Rivka and Yecheved. Thus far the Mishnah. Now, what do we see from that? Alma, so we see from that, Achos Ishtei Bein Mina'av, Bein Mina'em Asuris. So we see that his wife's sister is also to him, regardless whether it's a paternal sister or a maternal sister. Because in this scenario over here, we have Milka and Rivka are paternal sisters, and we say they have one father, Besuel, but different mothers, and we're saying that as long as Milka is alive, Rivka is also to him. On the other hand, Rivka and Sarah have only the same mother, Keturah. And we're saying, as long as Rivka, as we're saying, that because in the first case, because Rivka is also to him, therefore her kedushin are ineffective, therefore Sarah's can be valid. It's not a problem of Achos Ishtei. And vice versa, we said, once his kedushin to Rivka are valid, once Milka really is dead, then the kedushin to Sarah are not. So we see that these rules apply equally well, whether they have the same father only or the same mother only. Well then, Minolon. So where do we know that? So the answer is Yalif Ma'achoisei. The answer is we learn it from the Torah tells us that a man's sister is also to him. Ma'achoisei bein min ha'av bein min ha'em, just like a sister is also, whether it's from the father's side or from the mother's side. Afkan bein min ha'av bein min ha'em. The same way it'll apply over here, that the same way the sisters are also, whether it's from the father or from the mother. So the Gemara says, "V'lei lef midei dosai." Why should we learn it from the sister? Maybe instead we should learn it from the aunt. Whereas we said that dosai, his aunt, meaning his aunt by marriage, his father's brother's wife, ma dosai mina av v'lei mina aim, and we established in the Gemara before that relationship is also only when the father and his brother are paternal brothers. V'loy mina aim, not from the mother. Afkan mina av v'loy mina aim. One should say the same thing by a wife's sister, only if they have the same father, but not if they have the same mother. So the Gemara says, okay, mistabra ma'achosa havloy l'meila. It's more logical to learn from his sister, because that way you're learning his own relatives from his own relatives. His sister is also on the grounds of being his own sister. His wife's sister is also on the grounds of being, well, not his own, but in other words, the point is that we're dealing with sistership as opposed to a further out relationship. Doidosa is his father's brother's wife, so there it's a relationship that was created by marriage. Whereas the relationships that we're talking about over here didn't require marriages at all. A man's sister is also to him whether their parents were married or not. Similarly, his wife's sister is also to him, whether the parents were married or not. In the scenario that we just had, we assumed, for example, that Besuel was first married to Hannah and then to Keturah, and similarly, that Keturah was married to Besuel and then later on to Chetzuin and so forth. But it doesn't really have to be that way. It would be the same dinim would equally apply if Besuel was Mizana with Hannah and Keturah, and then Keturah in turn with Chetzuin, and so on and so forth. So all of those are kroivei atzma. Those are all his own. They're also on the grounds of being direct relatives rather than a father's brother's wife, which is not kroivei atzma because it goes through a marriage and it goes through his father's brother. So therefore, it's more logical to learn from a sister. And since a sister, the Torah spells out, is also whether a paternal or maternal sister. So the same way we'd say over here. The Gemara says,
where do you take it that the Torah means that a Hafsa sister is a sister? Where'd you get that from?
Really spells it out. That Erbas Achoscha Bas Avicha Oy Bas Imecha, in this past week's parasha. It says your sister, the daughter of your father, or the daughter of your mother.
The pasuk says that.
Yeah, that pasuk says it. Yeah. So the Gemara says, "Adad Abba Midah does say Havelele Melech." On the contrary, you can argue that you should learn from the aunt. Shekein Davar Ayde Kedushin Midavar Shayde Kedushin, because you should be learning something that takes place through Kedushin from something else that takes place through Kedushin. Because after all, how are some of these women Osir, and some of them related to Reuven only because he married some of them, only because he was Makadosh Milka, then Rivka became Osir to him. Only because he was Makadosh Sara does Yecheved become Osir to him, and so forth. So therefore, in a way, it's more similar to Daidasai. Yes, they're also because there was wife sister, but that itself, so in a way, it's more like a sister. But on the other hand, it means that it was done through kedushin, which makes it more like an aunt. So therefore, so Ella me'eshes och yafinan. So rather, you're right. The answer is we're going to learn it from a brother's wife, where a brother's wife is also to shekein davar alde kedushin. There, it necessitates kedushin. The brother's wife obviously is also only if she's his wife, meaning that there was kedushin. And okroive atzmai, and it's his own brother, and still we see that she's also that his wife is also whether it's his paternal brother or his maternal brother. So the same thing we can apply from that. We can do a binyan av from that to his wife's sister. Okay, so the aishas och gufa minolon. Okay, so then in that case, where are we learning about the aishas och himself or herself? That she's also, whether it's a paternal brother or a maternal brother. So that, the Tanya, we learn in another braisa. The pasuk says, Erbas Eishes Ochicha Loisagale. Don't have relations with the wife of your brother. It's very much Hazman Groma, by the way, that we just had yesterday's parsha was included. The Arayas in this week's parsha, Kedoshim, continues on the topic of it. And many of the pasukim that we're quoting over here come from these two parshas. Anyway, the pasuk says, "Ervas eishes achicha lo segale." Don't uncover the nakedness of your brother's wife, and that means the braisa says, "Beinina av, beinina aim." That means regardless of whether he's your brother from the father's side or the mother's side. Now the braisa continues, "Ata oimer beinina av, beinina aim." You're saying that that's what it means. Maybe not. Maybe it means that it's only that the Isser is only when it's your paternal brother. Maybe if it's a maternal brother, like for example, if we think among the Shvatim, let's say Reuven and Yosef, maybe Reuven would be allowed to marry Yosef's widow or divorcee or whatever. So the Braisa continues, Bedinahu. Well, we can show logically that it's not so. Chiyuv kan v'chiyuv v'achosay, because we have a chiyuv, the Torah tells us that it's also to have relations with his brother's wife, and the Torah also tells us also to have relations with his own sister. Ma'achosay, b'emina av, b'emina aim, a sister, we said, the Pasuk clearly says that it's both a paternal and a maternal sister. Afkan, b'emina av, b'emina aim, so the same thing over here, we're going to say that it means the same thing. However, the braisa continues, oi kloch l'derech zu, maybe not, maybe go in a different direction. Maybe instead of learning from a sister, learn from a different relative. Chiyav kan v'chiyav v'daydasai. Another one of the arayas we just said is an aunt, father's brother's wife. Ma daydasai mina av v'loy mina aim. Just like an aunt, it's also mina torah we're talking about, only if it's a paternal brother, not a maternal one. As the Gemara established before, because by Gzeira Shava, where the word doidoi means specifically his father's paternal brother. So maybe you should learn from that. Ma doidosi mina av v'loy mina aim. Just like over there, it's only a paternal brother, not a maternal one. Afkan mina av v'loy mina aim. Maybe the same thing over here by Eishes Achicha means the same thing, only a paternal brother, not a maternal one. Well, the Braisa says, Nidol amidoyma. Well, let's consider which one it's more similar to. Again, so we have Eishes Och, we're trying to figure out which one it's more similar to. Is it more similar to the Isser of your own sister, or is it more similar to the, which would be both paternal and maternal, or is it more similar to the Isser of your father's brother's wife, which would be paternal only? So the Braisa says, Nir le midayma. Well, let's see which one it resembles more. Donin kreve atzme mi kreve atzme. Better, we should learn, like we said before, his own relatives from his own relatives. His sister is his own relative. His brother's wife is also, it's his own brother. as opposed to proving from an aunt, as opposed to analogizing it to an aunt. It's not your own relatives, it's your father's relatives. It's one degree of relationship further removed. On the other hand, the Braisa says, "Oy kloch l'derechzu." On the other hand, you could argue the contrary. The word kloch, by the way, that we have in all these things is short for lech lecha. It literally means go for yourself. In other words, maybe take yourself in a different direction. You could argue, done in davar shayde kedushin midavar shayde kedushin. On the contrary, what makes your father's brother's wife also to you? The fact that there was kedushin. What makes your brother's wife also to you? Kedushin. So then we should learn one from the other. As opposed to a sister, well, it's an issur that comes automatically, no kedushin are necessary, because again, even if a couple conceives a child without marriage at all, then there's still brother, or two children rather, then there's still brother and sister, and they're still also to each other. So now that we've reached that point, we can't logically deduce one from the other, because we could say that Eishes Ach is similar to a sister on one hand. We could equally well argue that it's similar to his father's brother's wife on the other hand. Therefore, we need another pasuk that says Eivas Achicha Hi. The pasuk doesn't just say don't have relations with your brother's wife. With your brother's wife, it continues in the pasuk in Achrei Moshe. It continues Eivas Achicha Hi. She is your brother's erva, which means that those extra words teach us that she's an erva regardless. Bein mina av, bein mina ein. Whether he's your brother from the father's side or from the mother's side. So now that we've learned that, now in turn we can use that as a basis for saying that the same thing achos ishtoi, as we were talking about at the top of the Amud, that the same thing achos ishtoi is also his wife's sister, whether it's a paternal sister or a maternal sister. However, the Gemara says maybe okay. So what are you telling me? Because you have the extra words. Ervas achicha hi. Therefore, you're saying that means any kind of brother. But maybe not. Maybe in fact both parts of the pasuk are talking specifically about a paternal brother's wife. And so why do you have two? You would say chodah deyesh labonim b'chaye b'ayla, b'chodah de'ein labonim b'chaye b'ayla. Maybe one is telling you that you're also to have relations with her when she has children. And her husband is still alive, and the other one when she doesn't have children and her husband is still alive. So in other words, let's say that Reuven was married to her and then divorced her. So you'd need one pasuk to say that you'd need one pasuk or one part of the pasuk to say that you're not allowed to marry her if she has children, and another one to tell you that you're also not allowed to marry her if she doesn't have children. You don't need that. You don't need that because we had on Dalar Amid Beis, we had something that Rav Huna said. You have another pasuk. Again, you have the arayas are repeated over after Parshas Achrei Moshe. They're also repeated again in Parshas Kedoshim with extra detail. And it mentions in Parshas Kedoshim, this week's parasha, when it says about Eishes Achiv, the Torah says Nidahi. And we said that the word Nida means that even though that we said it means that a nida eventually is going to become mutter once she's no longer a nida, but while she's also during the time when she's tamei nida, then if a man has relations with her, he's chayav kares, and the same thing also an eishes ach, even though eventually she may well become mutter because the husband may die childless, nevertheless, as long as she's also, then there's still an issur kares. So we know already that that if she has no children, then we already know that if she has no children from that if her husband divorced her, then we know from what Rav Huna said from the word nidahi in Parshas Kedoshim that she's off limits. So we don't need, so you wouldn't need that. So therefore, we're back to that we can say one part is teaching us about a paternal brother and the other about a maternal brother. Okay, still the Gemara says, still, you could argue that both parts of the pasuk, both the Eves Eishes Achicha Loisegale and the Eves Achicha Hi, are both talking about a paternal brother, because you could say Chodah Diyesh Labonim B'Chayet Baila, B'Chodah Diyesh Labonim La'achem Eishes Baila, because you could say both of them are talking about when she has children, But one's talking about while her husband is alive, in other words, he divorced her and she has children. And the other one is telling us that if she has children, but her husband divorced her, even after, or for that matter, even not divorced her, he died but left her with children, then also you're not allowed to marry her. So those would be the cases. As long as she has children, then the first part of the pasuk is telling us if he divorced her, you're also to marry her. And the second one would say also if he died, you're also to marry her because she has children and therefore there's no yibum. But in other words, but nothing to do with a maternal brother. Someone says you don't need that. Yesh labonim lacham mrs. Baila lo tzuchakra. If the husband dies and leaves her with children, you don't need a pasuk to tell her that his brother is also to marry her. You can figure it out logically. Mida amar achmana she'in labonim muteres. The Torah tells us in the parasha of Yibum that if she doesn't have children, then she's mutter, because then you have the mitzvah of Yibum, ha yesh labonim asura, which automatically implies that if she has children, then she's asur. So you don't need a pasuk to tell us that. So we're back to that if we have an extra pasuk or an extra part of the pasuk, then it must be to tell us about a maternal brother. Well, I says, why? The Duma ain labonim asura la'alma v'shavya l'yavam. Maybe not. Maybe you could explain it as follows. If she has children, if she doesn't have children, then she's also to marry anybody else. The only one she's allowed to marry is the Yavam, because the pasuk says Lo siya eishes hameis achutza l'ishzer yesh labonim. And you could argue maybe the pasuk is implying that if she has children, not that there's no yibum, but shavya l'alma, but shavya l'yavam, she would be mutter to marry somebody else. She's also allowed to marry the Yavam. And the Torah is not clearly saying that if they have no children, then the Yavam should not marry her. All it's saying is that if she and her husband didn't have children, then the Yavam has to marry her, has to do Yibum. So maybe the implication is, and if she does have children, he could do Yibum if he wants, but he doesn't have to, and she's not required to submit to Yibum. She could go and marry somebody else as well. Maybe that's what the pasuk means. So that would be a possibility. Inami, or another way you could say it, ein labonim mitzvah. You could say if she has no children, then it's a mitzvah to do yibum. Yesh labonim nashus. And if she has children, he's still allowed to if he wants to. He just is not required to. Inami, ein labonim ein, yesh labonim loy. Or we could say, fine, maybe the Torah is implying that if she has children, then there's no yibum. But that would be only an essay, because you'd have an essay, yavama yavay aleha, that if there's no children, then yavama yavay aleha. And we would deduce from that that it means that if there are children, then he should not. But that would be v'lava b'miklal essay. That would only have the force of a mitzvah saseh, as we have the usual rule. When the Torah tells us, we're going to have an example further on in the next piece, where you have an esse, where the Torah tells us an esse do something, and we can infer from it don't do something else, that's called a lava b'miklal esse. Well, maybe that's what you could say over here. So you could argue maybe that in fact yibum is allowed when there are children, and therefore, or you could argue it's not allowed, but it's only a mitzvah saseh. So ultimately we could say that maybe that's what the pasuk is implying by maybe the extra words ervas achicha hi are teaching you, okay, none of that, regardless, when she has children, then she's off limits to you, but all of that would only be with a paternal brother, nothing to do with a maternal brother. So maybe a maternal brother's wife to begin with is mutter. The answer is, the Gemara says, cause of krachrina, ervas achiv gila. Fine, but you have yet another pasuk that we haven't quoted so far, namely, we quoted parts of it, but we haven't, again, in the pasuk in Parashas Kedoshim. It also repeats the iser of a brother's wife, and there it mentions the word nidahi, which we said before, Rav Huna uses that for a drosha to tell us that you can't say that before she's up for yibum, that maybe there's a heter, there's any kind of heter to marry her. No, it's actually an Isur Kores. But in that pasuk, it also continues, Ervas Ochiv Gila. So therefore, so those extra words teach us that regardless, any kind of brother, his wife is off limits. So the Gemara asks, fine. So now that we've established that, so we've established then that the Isur of a brother's wife applies whether it's a paternal brother or a maternal brother, and we've established, of course, that there is the concept of yibum. So now let's turn it around. Maybe you should say that the iser of a maternal brother's wife is the same as a paternal brother's wife. Now, what happens with a paternal brother? Once he dies, then you're allowed to marry his wife. Then you have the concept of yibum. So maybe the same thing. Maybe the same thing should apply as far as a maternal brother. That maybe after her husband dies, then maybe she's available for yibum. Now, Rashi says, we learned way back in the Masechta, we learned at the beginning of the second parak, that that's not so, because we said we learned the definition of the word achim from the sons of Yaakov, where they're called, the Shnei Masar Avadecha, achim anachim, and all of them have the same father, and from there we learn that the brothers have to have the same father in order for there to be yibum. So Rashi makes the same point, as the Gemara said before, that you could argue that maybe what the Pasuk is saying is, again, that only when they're paternal brothers is there a mitzvah to do yibum, but when they're maternal brothers, it's not that there's a mitzvah, but there's a reshus. You could do it if you want to. Another point that some of the Rishonim say is the Gemara needs to establish over there that you don't need them to be, the Gemara explains over there, we need to establish that they don't need to be full brothers. They don't need to be they don't need to be both paternal and maternal brothers in order to do yibum. In other words, if we didn't have some pasuk to tell us, we would say, for example, only Reuben and Shimon could do yibum with each other's wives, but not, let's say, Reuben and Yosef, because they have different mothers, and therefore you need to learn from Bnei Yaakov that it's not so. But that doesn't necessarily mean that maybe you could still say that maternal brothers are allowed to if they want to. So how do you know that not? The answer is omakrohi. Because there's another word in the pasuk that we've there's another word in the pasuk that said it. We said erves achicha he. The he means bahava yosa tehei, means that she remains in her status. So this is Tosfos actually says that over here, that we needed to learn from Bnei Yaakov in order to know that it doesn't have to be full brothers in order for there to be yibum. So now bahava yosa tehei. So we need both. We need a limud to say that they have to be paternal brothers. And which we're learning now from the word he, that if they're not paternal brothers, then she's absolutely off limits, and there's no possibility even a reshus of yibum. And then you have what we learned from Bnei Yaakov, the Gzeira Shava over there, on the word achim, on the concept of achva. From there, we learn that they don't have to be full brothers. It's enough that they're half brothers that share the same father. Okay. So that's that. So that establishes how we know that a brother's wife is usur, whether it's a paternal brother or a maternal brother, if, with the exception of yibum. And from that, in turn, we can learn to achos ishtoi, as we said at the top of the Amud, that we learn that achos ishtoi is osur, whether it's a paternal sister or a maternal sister. Okay. Next, the Gemara says, we're going through over here again why it repeats the arayas in Parshas Kedoshim and give them and some of them it gives extra details. What are we learning from those? So the Gemara asks, Achosa de Kosaba Kores Lomali. Why does the Torah have to specify kores when a man has relations with his sisters? At the end of Parshas Achrimos, after it lists all the arayas, it says that anybody who does these benichrusu anafoshes ha'oisos, then the people who do these things are going to get kores. And we learned in the Gemara yesterday that we learned in the Gemara on Nudalad Amud Beis that we have a hekesh that compares all the arayas one to another as far as that, meaning that this chiyuv kores applies to all of them. So now in Parshas Kedoshim, the Torah singles out and mentions that a man has relations with his sister, then they get kores. So why does it need to? We already know that from the hekesh at the end of Parshas Achrimos. The answer is l'chid Rabbi Yochanan. We need that to teach us what Rabbi Yochanan says. D'om Rabbi Yochanan, she'im ason kulam behelam achas chayev akol achas v'achas. The Torah wants you to know with that if a person is over on all of the arayas, all in one helam, so he had no idea that any of these arayas are osur, whether it's he didn't know these were his relatives, whether he didn't know that arayas b'chlal are osur, whatever it is, and he was over on many of them. So chayev akolachas v'achas, he's going to be chayev, an individual chathos for each one. So that we learn because the Torah singled out the sister and mentioned kores by her. So therefore, it's an example of davar shehoya b'chlal, as we say in morning davening. it's something that was part of a general klal, namely that all of them are chayiv paris. The yotzim in a klal lamed, and it was said it was excluded from the klal to tell us. Then loy lamed al atzma yotza el lamed al klal kula yotza. Just like with a sister, he would be chayiv individually kares for her, and once he's chayiv kares, then it means he's also chayiv a chatas before he's b'shogeg, because that's the general rule. Anything any loisa said that a person is chayiv kares for b'mezid, then he's chayiv a chatas b'shogeg. So the same thing applies to each of the other arayas. So if he was over on many of the arayas together, then he's bringing many chataras. Okay, so that's what we learned from Achosa. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yitzchak, the Omer Kol Chayv Krisis Bechlal Hoyu. Now, what about according to Rabbi Yitzchak, who Rabbi Yitzchak says that we learn a different thing from this Kares that it mentioned by his sister. He says, Kol Chayv Krisis Bechlal Hoyu. There was a general rule that the Torah said that all the Arayas are Chayv Krisis. The Lama Yot the Kares by Achosay. So why did it single out Achosay and mention Kares by her? Ledunay be Kares for Leib Malkus. Because the Torah wants to stress that a person is chayiv only kares for it, not malchus. Namely like this. We have a Mishnah at the end of Masechta Makos that tells us that if a person was chayiv kares and instead they got malchus, then they're potter from kares. So in other words, what can happen is the person is about to be over the Avera. The Edim warn him, if you do this, you're going to be chayiv malchus or kares. And he goes ahead and does it anyway. He's matar atzmai and then goes ahead and does it anyway. Then they can bring him to Beis Din and get him Malkus, and that exempts him from Kares. That's according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees with that concept. And he learns it from Achosay over here. Since the Torah explicitly says Kares by Achosay, and now if it didn't say that, we would know anyway, first of all, that it's Chayav Kares, because it does say at the end of Parshas Achrimos. But also, the point is, the Rosh also points out another angle on it. We would automatically know that he's chayiv malchus because we have a general rule that any lav that meets certain criteria is chayiv malchus, and the one for a sister on the face of it fits all those criteria. Nevertheless, the Torah tells us kares, implying, says Rabbi Yitzchak, that it's only kares. There's no possibility of malchus. So even if they wound him, he's not going to get malchus. And if he does, then it doesn't pater him from kares. So according to him, that's what we're learning from the word kares by the sister. Well, then lachalik menolon. So where does he know the concept that Rabbi Yochanan is learning from the sister that if he was over on many of them, the halam echad, then he's chay of many chatois? So the answer is nafkalei mivi el isha benidas tumasa. He learns it from the fact that the Torah says that you're not allowed to approach, you're not allowed to have relations with a woman when she's nida. Now it didn't have to say a woman. Who else is going to be nida? So therefore, it means that every woman individually. Every woman individually, he's chayav chatas for. Okay. So that explains why we need kares by the sister, according to Rabbi Yochanan to teach us separate chatois, and according to Rabbi Yitzchak to teach us that there's no possibility of malchus pattering him from kares. Next, the Gemara asks, Doidosai de kosta barachmana aririm yu lomali. The Torah tells us, again, in this week's parasha, that a man's not allowed to have relations with his aunt, by which we said before we mean his father's brother's wife. And the Torah warns us that if he does, aririm yiyu, they will be aririm, which aririm means childless. So there's actually two different phrases. So Rashi explains actually that aririm is another way of saying kores. The word kares, Rashi explains, means not only that he's cut off, but also that his children are cut off. Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta actually discusses that and says maybe not necessarily so. Maybe kares and ariri are two separate things. Tosfos brings over there that only by arayas, only by the ones where it says ariri, would we say aririm, would we say that their children also die as part of the punishment? And maybe, okay, we could say also, maybe it applies more generally to the other arayas because, again, of the hekesh that we said that all the arayas are compared to one another. But definitely not, for example, the other kinds of kares. A person gets kares for eating chalev or eating blood or breaking Shabbos, etc. Those ariri wouldn't apply. So they disagree with Rashi that ariri is another word for kares. Anyway, so why does it say aririm yiyu by his aunt? So lomali, the answer is l'chidr Rabba. It teaches us what Rabba says. The Rabba Rami. Rabba pointed out a contradiction in the psukim. Twice in the psukim over there, it mentions this concept of aririm. One by a brother's wife, and one by an uncle's wife. One of them, it says, Ksiv Aririm Yiyu. One of them, it says, they will be Aririm, which implies that when they die, they're going to be Aririm. In other words, that they're if they had children, then those children are going to die while they're alive. Uchtiv Aririm Yamusu. But the other one says they will die as Aririm, implying that if now they're Aririm, then they will die in that state, even if they in other words, the Aririm Yiyu implies that regardless whether their children were born, they're going to die as part of this punishment. On the other hand, Aririm Yamosu implies that if right now they're Aririm, then they're going to remain that way. So what is it? Okay, that Yesh Bonim Koyron. It means if they had children beforehand, before they did the Avera, then they're going to end up burying them. Those children are going to end up dying before them. And if they don't have children, then they're going to remain Ariri. They're going to remain childless until they die. So therefore, that's why the Pasuk uses a different expression. Well, why does it need to use both expressions? We have to say both. If it only said the Aririm Yiyu, which it says in connection with a brother's wife, then you would say any children that he had until he did the Avera are going to die. Maybe any children that he has after that will not die. So Aririm Yiyu would mean, in other words, they're going to end up being Aririm. Any children they have now are going to die, but they're not necessarily going to die Aririm, because they may have children afterwards and those children will stay alive. Therefore, instead, the Torah writes Aririm Yamusu to stress that it means at the time of their death, they will be Aririm, childless. So any children born afterwards are also included in this. And vice versa, if it only said Aririm Yamosu, on the contrary, maybe only the children who are born after the chet will die, but the children who were born beforehand will not. And therefore it says Aririm Yiyu to say that they are going to end up being Aririm, implying that right now they're not Aririm yet. They still have children, but Yiyu, they will be Aririm because their children will die. So that's what it means, in other words, that regardless whether they had children at the time of the Aveira or whether they didn't, any children they had beforehand and any children that they have afterwards will die. And if they didn't have children before, then they may not have children afterwards. Whatever the case, one way or the other, they're going to wind up dying childless. So that's why it says the expression Aririm, and that's why it repeats it twice with different phrasing to teach us this concept. Now, we started the sugya on Nundalad Amud Aleph asking how. Now, the Mishnah had told us that when the Yavam is having relations with the Yavama, even if he only does Ha'ara, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara soon, what the definition of Ha'ara is, then already it makes her his wife for purposes of Yibum, and he inherits the brother's property, etc. And then we said in the Mishnah, the same way with any of the other Arayas or any of the other Isurim, whether there's Kores or whether there's Lav or what have you, always Ha'ara already is considered the equivalent of Gemar Bia, and therefore that the Aveira has been done, and therefore Kores or Chatos or Mrs. Baskin or whatever kicks in. So now we started the sugya by saying how we know this concept in the first place, and we ended up learning it from the cases of Arayas that involve Kores. Well, that's Kores. So now Ha'ara d'chayve lavin min olon. So how do we know that the same thing applies to chayve lavin? For example, a Yisrael marrying a Mamzeres, or a Mamzer marrying a Bas Yisrael, and so forth, the various cases. Or for example, we're going to talk about over here a Yisrael having relations with a Shivcha, where Shivcha Knanis, where all of those are an Issur Lav. So where do we know that by them also Ha'ara is enough to make the Issur kick in? So the answer is Mida Gali Rachmana Shichvas Zera Gabe Shivcha Harufa. The answer is because the Torah tells us also in this week's parasha about the concept of Shivcha Harufa, that if a man has relation, if a Jewish man has relations with a Shivcha Harufa, and there's a few different opinions of Tanoim, what a Shivcha Harufa is exactly. The halacha is like the is like Rabbi Akiva, who says that this is a woman who's half Shivcha and half free. So for example, let's say she had two masters and one of them freed her, and she is Mekudesh, or she's reserved for an Eved Ivri, because we know an Eved Ivri is allowed to have relations with a Shivcha Knanis. So half of her, in effect, half of her is an Eishes Ish, but the other half is only a Shivcha and is not. So the Torah tells us that if a Jewish man, other than that Eved Ivri, has relations with her, then she gets Malkus and he has to bring a Korban Asham. Now, the Torah tells us that the word Shichvas Zera, the Ish Ki Yishka Vas Isha, Shichvas Zera. So now Shichvas Zera implies more than Hara. It means it has to be the kind of relation that is more likely to result in zera, in pregnancy, which would be, therefore, which would be gmar bia, not just hara. So since it says that by shivcha harufa, miklal the chayve lavin b'hara, therefore the implication is everything else involving chayve lavin, then only hara is enough for the isser to kick in. Only over here, by shivcha harufa, are we saying that there needs to be gmar bia. And based on Rashi's lashon over here, there are mafoshim who learn that Rashi would be saying that only the special thing that he brings in Osham kicks in by Gmar Bia. If he did only Hara, there would still be the regular Lav and therefore the regular Malkus for a Jewish man having relations with a Shivcha. Only we're talking about as far as the fact that instead that gets transformed and he brings in Osham instead, that would only take place with Gmar Bia. So Gmar says, Adarabah, maybe on the contrary. What are you saying that Shivcha Harufa is an exception? Midagali Rachmana Hara B'chayve Krisus. Maybe not. Maybe say that since the Torah tells us that the chayve krisos, which are more stringent, that hara is enough for the issur to kick in, miklal the chayve lavin migmar bia. Maybe the implication is chayve lavin are less serious, and only gmar bia would actually cause the issur to take effect. That then they'd be chayve malchus, etc. Ravashi says can't. In pain, lishtik krom shivcha harufa. Then the Torah didn't have to say anything about shivcha harufa at all. The Torah didn't have to say the word shichvas zera by her at all. It could have said v'ish ki yishka bet isha v'hi shivcha necharefes lish, leaving out the word shichvas zera. And we would say that the same thing. It's the same thing as all other chayve lavin that only gmar bia. Since it specifies by her shichvas zera, then the implication is that that's the exception, and therefore that we don't, and therefore that all other ones, it's only hara. Tosfos teaches out the question and the answer a little more. That the point is, so the question is the other way around. So why doesn't the Torah tell us this by Chayve Lavin, and we would understand all the more so by Chayve Krisus? And the answer is, if it didn't say by Chayve Krisus, then you would say that since the Torah tells us by a Shivcha, then fine, you would say that the Shivcha is an example. It's again Dover Shahoya Bachlav Yotzim and Aklav Lamed, where we would say that all other Isurei Lav is only Gmar Bia. And then we would say, okay, by Chayve Krisus is Hara. Now that it says specifically Hara by Chayve Krisus, so therefore we know automatically, so now we're questioning, is it, what about by Chayve Lavin? And the answer is, once we have by Shivcha Harufa that it says it, if in fact it applied across the board to all Chayve Lavin, that only Gmar Bia, then it wouldn't have said it by Shivcha Harufa, and therefore, because we would have understood ourselves that Lavim are less serious than Kares, and therefore now that it says it, it means that it tells us that it's the exception. Okay. Next, Hara de Chayve Lavin de Kahuna Menolon. What about when it comes to Lavim involving Koyanim, where those are lesser Lavim in a sense, because even though they're also Chayv Malchus, but they're only applied to Koyanim, unlike, for example, a Shivcha Harufa or any Shivcha, whatever, the Issu applies to any Yid. So how do we know by their Menolon, how do we know there that also Hara is enough for the Issu to kick in, as our Mishnah had said? The answer is Asya Kicha Kicha. The answer is we make a Gzeira Shava on the word Kicha. By Chayve Krisus, it uses the expression V'isha sheyikach esachoisei. By the Koyanim, it says Isha zonah v'chalola lo yikohu. So we have a Gzeira Shava, therefore, that whatever applies to one applies to the other. And since we said Hara is enough for the Chatos, so Kores, to kick in by a sister, so the same thing applies to a Koyan and a woman that he's not allowed to marry. Okay, what about the Chayve Esse Benolon? What about we have Isurei Bia where there's only an Esse? And here we have an example of a lava, Bamikol Esse, that we were talking about before. The Torah tells us that only a third generation Mitzri or a Domi Ger is allowed to freely marry into the Jewish people. And we're going to learn about that in more detail later in the Masechta. But it means, in other words, that if John, the Mitzri, becomes a ger and takes the Jewish name Avraham, and he has a son Yitzchak, and Yitzchak has a son Yaakov, so Yaakov is freely allowed to intermarry into the Jewish people. But Avraham and Yitzchak can only marry other gerim or mamzerim or what have you. But the Torah never says explicitly that the first and second generation can't marry in. It says the third generation could, implying that the first and second can't. So that's an example of a lav abamit kol esa, which has the force of an esa. So how do we know that they are also by hara is enough that once they did hara, then they're over on the esa? And the answer is asya bia bia. We make a zera shava on the word bia from the Chayvei Laban. It says lo yovei mamzer. Here it says yovei lahem bikal Hashem, the third generation, implying that the first and second generation not. So therefore, in effect, Tosfos says, it's as if the Pasuk said, doshlishi ya'ara, the third generation, is already allowed to do ha'ara, implying that the previous generations are not. Okay, yivama l'shuk minolon. Next, how do we know that this also applies to a Yavama marrying out without chalitza? How do we know that once Hara is done, then also she's been over on she and her new husband are being over on? What do you need to ask? Ilamanda Oma Lab, Ilamanda Oma Esa Esa. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about the question like this. When the Torah tells us, she should not marry outside of the family unless Yivam or Chalitza is done. And the Pasuk continues, Yivama Yavay Aleha. So one way of looking at it is that Yivama Yavay Aleha, we know, constitutes an Esser. So that itself would be that if somebody else does, then it's a Lava Bamakwal Esser. Now, what is the Loisia Eishes HaMeis HaChutza LeIshzor? Is that a Lav, meaning she's not allowed to? Or is it a statement of fact, namely that Kiddushin with her are not effective because she still has a zika? We're going to discuss that point later on. We're going to have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel about it later on in Or Masechta on Daf Tzadik Beis. So the Gemara is saying Tosfos actually learns differently. Tosfos says that no, both Rav and Shmuel agree there's a lav, so therefore Tosfos takes out the line from the Gemara over here. But anyway, the line as we have it is saying the Gemara is asking, why do you need to even ask? Ilamanda Oma Lav, Ilamanda Oma Esa Esa. According to the opinion that there's a lav, then it's like any other chayve lavin. According to the opinion that it's an essay, it's like any other chayve essay. We already established that both with a lav and with both chayve lavin and with chayve essay, we have that hara is like gemar bia. So therefore, we don't need it. So what are you asking specifically about yivama l'shuk? Ela yivama l'yavam minolon. Rather, no. The question is, our Mishnah had said that once the yavam does hara with the yivama, then he's koneh her. Now the question becomes, how do we know that? We've established that Hara is effective and causes the penalties to kick in by Chayve Krisus and by Chayve Lavin and by Chayve Esed. But now we're trying to say that Hara is actually accomplishing a mitzvah. How do we know that? So the answer is Astia Bia Bia. Again, we make the Zeder Shava on the word Bia because it says Yavama Yavay Aleha and it said Lo Yavay Mamzer. And again, so we have the same thing, therefore, that it means that the same stage of Bia, Hara, is enough for him to acquire her. What about B.S. Ishala Baila Manolon? Where do we know that when a regular husband and wife, that when they do Hara, then it's enough to make that if he's Mekes, so that it's enough for it to take effect? And the answer is Astia, Kicha, Kicha. The answer is we learn by Xeda Shava from the word Kicha, again, Ki Yikach Ish Isha, it says. And So the same way Hara applies to both. Now, the question is, what do we mean over here by Hara? Rashi explains we're talking about where he's Makadish with Bia. We know that a person can be Makadish with Kesef Shtar Bia. We learned the other day in the Gemara that doing it with Bia is Pritzistik, and Rav would give people Pech for it, but nevertheless, it is valid Daraisa. So the question is, how do we know that Hara is enough to do that? Tosfos actually brings that, no, one second. We have a Gemara in Kiddushin that discusses the question of whether Hara is Kono, whether you need Gemar Bia. And the Gemara ends up saying over there that no, he has in mind Gemar Bia. So Tosfos goes through a couple of possible answers. One of them is, here we're talking about he just did Hara and then they separated. So there was no Gemar Bia at all. So then we're saying Hara by itself is enough. There we're talking about where he did Gemar Bia. So then retroactively, it turns out that the Hara was not enough. And therefore, the Gemara says, hypothetically, if after the Hara, before the Gemar Bia, she accepted Kedushin from somebody else, then maybe, again, we're talking about where he was Makadosh Bia, then maybe that other Kedushin would be effective. And that's one answer. Then Tosfos brings another answer from the Rivam that it depends what his intentions are. If he intends to be koine with Hara, then that's effective. But if he doesn't say one way or the other, then we assume that he only intends to be koine with Bia only by Gemar Bia. Then there's a third explanation actually, which the Rif and a couple of other Rishonim bring, which is we're not talking about over here as far as Kiddushin at all. We're talking about the next stage of marriage, Chuppah. When chuppah is koina, that was saying that hara is enough. So for kedushin, you would need gemar bia, but for chuppah, hara is enough. Tosfos elsewhere asks on the riff on that it doesn't seem to fit with our gemara over here, where we're saying that we're learning it from the word kicha, where the word kicha refers to kedushin rather than nisui. So we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.